Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Well, good evening, everybody. Great to see you all this evening on this beautiful, mild Saturday evening. Amen. And God is good. Thank you so much for coming out on a Saturday night. It's great to have you here with us. Only the Saturday night crowd gets the double portion. I'm going to behave, so I'll just stop right there. Someone actually said, "Ah, can you believe that?" Well, tonight I want to get into a message that has been stirring in my spirit. And between today and tomorrow, I'll be talking a lot about joy, but from a different perspective, perhaps. And we're going to go in just a moment to Psalm 16, but don't put it up yet. I think that in this season, how many of you feel like this has been a little bit of a roller coaster season the last couple of months, year and a half, 18 months, 2 years, you know, it's been a little interesting to say the least. And there's so much coming at us from every angle, from the media, from government, from preachers, from just everybody. Many opinions, and social media specifically, the opinions on social media are just absolutely unreal, you know. How passionate people are, and in some cases, understandably so. But with all of this going on, it can cause a lot of confusion. And also, at the same time, it can cause people to kind of get withdrawn, and almost sometimes even get to a place where they become down, or perhaps even depressed. And many people over the last 18 months have experienced different types of loss. And some people have even experienced, you know, loss, or, you know, some people have just, you know, as pastors, we've been nonstop on the phone and on Facebook with individuals in hospital, some even out of state, you know, people that watch our services online that have been connected to us. We've been one individual, we've been walking with her daughter, and it's been a real battle. She had COVID and a real bad case. But I tell you, God has done a miracle. We're so thankful for that she's coming through it. And she's been in hospital now for, I mean, over a month. It must be, you know, probably somewhere around a month. On ventilators, off ventilators. But we've seen God really do a miracle, you know. And we're very thankful for that. You know, in the same breath, though, there's been wonderful people, wonderful believers that have actually even lost individuals during this time. And that's been very difficult. So, you know, I want to share with you from a scripture in Psalm 16, and this psalm is just so powerful. You know, I've taught you guys that in scripture, you'll see promises, and almost always connected to promises are conditions. There are certain things with promises that we have to do. Even being saved has a condition. You have to believe. You won't get saved unless you believe. There's a condition to salvation. Are you with me? So every promise has some form of condition. And this particular psalm is very powerful because he shows us in the beginning, which we'll talk about in just a moment. We'll walk through it together. You'll see how he talks about what God does in his life. And then towards the second half of the psalm, he begins to kind of tell us what's required and then gives us even more of the promises in the psalm. Most of the scholars agree that this is a psalm that was written by David. And if you look at the way it's written, it seems very much like David's writing. So, you know, I'm very good at telling who writes what, you know. Very gifted at that, you know. I can tell by, yeah. Okay, anyway, that's nonsense. Okay, Psalm 16, verse number 1. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. And the word preserve there is actually a very powerful word because it means to watch, to keep, to protect, to take care of. God is the one who preserves us, keeps us, protects us, takes care of us. And he says this, he says, "For in you I put my trust." I think the question we all have to ask ourselves in today's life with everything going on, who are you putting your trust in? Who are we putting our trust in? And here the writer of the psalm says, "In you I put my trust." And he starts by saying, "Lord, preserve me." So he's saying, "Lord, I want you to keep me. I want you to watch over me. I want you to protect me. I want you to take care of me, because it's you that I put my trust in." So he's going to God boldly because he believes that this is the God that will take care of him. He's going to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all gods, the God who lives. Can you say amen? And he's going to him and he's saying, "Lord, preserve me." In other words, take care of me. You're the one, Lord, who can protect me. And do this because I put my trust in you. I don't put my trust in other things. I don't put my trust in the media. I don't put my trust in politicians. I don't put my trust in my own abilities. I put my trust entirely in you. And based on that, I believe that you are the one who will preserve me. That's basically what he's trying to say. He says in verse number 2, "Oh my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you." And I love this because he's talking about the better part of himself. He's talking about his goodness. And he's saying here that my goodness is nothing apart from you. In other words, what's good in me, God, if you aren't in it, there's nothing good about me. Can you say amen? He's saying that my goodness is nothing apart from you. And I think that that's something that I've come to realize as time goes on, as I walk with God. I was telling Naomi in the car, you know, one of the things that, you know, I've come to see over time is, you know, many people, and especially pastors, they really, you know, like to act like they have humility. And sometimes that humility is not humility at all. It's really pride. And the reason why I recognize it is because I see it in myself. Okay? What I'm trying to tell you is that we need to be so careful that we don't become so, you know, so self-righteous or so self-absorbed that we think we have humility. The fact is that everything that we have that is in us, that is good, our ability to be good, our ability to do what's right, our ability to do what's honorable, can only come from Him. And outside of Him, there is nothing good in me. Because what's good in me that isn't God isn't good at all. Do you understand? So I can't even act humble without Him. Because the only bit of humility in me is Him. Does that make sense? So I've realized, and the psalmist says it so beautifully. He's saying that my goodness can't save me. My goodness can't bring me forgiveness. My goodness isn't goodness at all without you. He's saying, "You are my Lord, my goodness," and he says it clearly, "is nothing apart from you." When somebody has that mindset, when somebody has that heart, and they're doing this in their privacy with the Lord, when they're crying out to God, it's easy for me to say it in front of you, "Oh God, you are my goodness. There's nothing else besides me." And I go in my room alone, and I go, "Well, you know, God, I'm actually not that bad, you know." You know what I mean? You know, you can fool everybody, but you can't fool Him. Do you really recognize that you've only come so far because of Him? Do you really recognize that what's changed in you is the part that is Him that's begun to change you? Are you with me? It's so important that we understand this. He says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord," that's His inner man, "you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you." And then he says this, "As for the saints who are on the earth," and we're not going to focus on this. We're not going to talk about the others. We're going to talk about ourselves today. Isn't that great? "They are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips." And then he says this, verse number 5. "O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot." In other words, he's saying, "You are my portion, my inheritance. You are everything I need. Everything I need, my purpose, my destiny, my lot in life, what you've given me, what you've planned for me, Lord, really it is you, Father. There is nothing outside of you. You are the portion of my inheritance. The only part that brings me true joy, the only part that brings me true freedom, the only part that brings me true peace is when I come to you, Lord. You are the only one who can bring that change in me. You are my portion, the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. That means my lot is talking about like property almost, like my lot, my portion, my share. You maintain it, Lord. But he's saying that you are that. Many of us want different things. We want to have lots of different stuff. But he's saying, Lord, the only part that really matters, the only part that's really important is you. You are the part that I want. You are the portion that I need. You are my portion. You are my lot, Lord. You are everything. And this is amazing because you see the way that he speaks to God. This is prayer. This is songs. This is what he's doing. He's spending time in the presence of God. And he's worshiping and he's praying and he's singing this to the Lord. He's writing it down. I don't know. I wasn't there to tell you exactly how he did it. Is that okay? But that's how the Psalms were written. They were songs or they were like poems, or they would read them and sing them. And so he's declaring this to the Lord. And he's telling the Lord how much he loves him. And he's telling the Lord that he's the one he puts his trust in. He's telling the Lord, listen, you are the portion. You are my lot. Outside of you, there's nothing else that really, really matters. Outside of you, there's nothing that can preserve me. Outside of you, there's nothing that can sustain me. Outside of you, there's nothing that can take care of me. There's nothing that will truly bring me peace. There's nothing that will truly bring me joy outside of you, God. And the psalmist understands this, and he's declaring this to the Lord. How many of you think it's pretty awesome? Amen. He goes on and he says, the lions have fallen to me is in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. The lions is what God has given him. So lions in those days would be like almost like the lions, the territory, what was given to him. And he's saying that the lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. In other words, he's saying, I don't need anything that anybody else has got. What you have given me is good enough. Sometimes we get so caught up in looking at everybody else's lines and plots and things that they have. And here the psalmist is saying, Lord, what you have given me, it's good. I'm grateful. It's pleasant. He's saying, I have a good inheritance. In other words, what you have called me to be, God, that is good enough for me. What you have called me, what you have given me, that is good enough for me. I don't need anybody else's. Are you guys okay this evening? Maybe someone will shout later on. We'll see. I have a good inheritance. Now he begins to, he's told us up until this point. He's told us everything that the Lord is to him. Then he says in verse number 7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. In other words, it's God that gives him counsel. But he says before that, he says, I will bless. And the word bless there is very powerful in the Hebrew. It's the word barak. And it basically means to bless, to praise, to adore, to kneel down, or to bow down. It's really like a form of blessing and praising, adoration, and to kneel, to bow. Bless the Lord. You know, but when you say bless the Lord, it's like adoration. It's like praise. It's very intimate. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Basically, he's the one who instructs me in the night season, even in difficult times, in the evening times when nobody's looking. He's the one who speaks to me. He's the one who leads me. He's the one who guides me. Are you with me? And I will bless him. I will adore him. I will praise him. Let me ask you a question. When you are going through a night season, when you are going through a difficult season, what are you doing? What am I doing in that season? Am I blessing him? Am I adoring him? Am I going down on my knees before him? Am I giving praise to him? Or am I relying on other things to bring me through those situations, to bring me through those difficult times. The psalmist is saying, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. In other words, God, you are the one. I come to you, I adore you, I praise you, I worship you. You're the one who gives me counsel when I'm going through different seasons, night seasons, difficult times, whatever it is that I'm dealing with. You're the one I come to. I will praise you. He goes on in verse number 8 and says, I have set the Lord always before me. And this I want to just stop right there. I have set the Lord always before me. What does that mean? That means that He is my priority. That means it's His word. It's His ways. He's the first thing. He's the last thing. He's the most important thing. When have I set Him before me? I've set Him always before me. I've put Him always ahead of everything else. When I watch the media, do I listen to the media or do I listen to what He has to say? When I look and have a look and see what the government is saying, I'm not against government, I'm not asking you to rebel, but I'm saying, listen, what God says is more important than any government. I put Him before me. I put Him before me. I put Him before what some say. I put Him before what anybody has to say about anything. I put Him before me, always before me. Because He is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. He will be at your right hand, and you will not be moved. If you put the Lord before you, I want you to know, if you put Him first, you will not be moved, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter how difficult the season that you've just experienced has been. I want you to know, if you put Him before you, if you trust Him above everything else, if you look for Him first in the morning, if you speak to Him last before you go to bed at night, if you choose Him about every other thing, He will be before you, He will be beside you, and you will not be moved. You will not be moved. Come on. You will not be moved. Some will fall. I remember when I was a child, I was about a little older than Joshua. And I know that I was that young because I was going to church with my dad at the Assemblies of God in Randfontein, which is this tiny little town in Johannesburg, South Africa. So I was very little. And I remember having a dream. And in that dream, I went to this, we lived in front of this, like, we call it a veld, where I come from. But here, it's not a veld. It's like a big field, but like a wild field, almost like a little jungle kind of thing, but without the jungle. So in the dream, I'm dreaming that I'm going to this. My dad and I used to go for walks when I was a little boy, and he would put me on his shoulders and we'd walk around this big field. It was really huge property, and there was a golf course on the one side, and there was actually some, later on in the years to come, there were actually people that lived there, kind of like real poverty and stuff. And we would take this path and walk around it. And I remember getting to the entrance, so I had a dream. And in the dream, he went without me, and I went after him. And when I got to the entrance of the field, there was a little sign that said, take your shoes off. This is holy ground. So I took my shoes off. I'll never forget it. And as I began to walk in this little path looking for my dad, there were kids sitting in a tree. And they were telling me, come and eat. And I said, no, I can't. I'm looking for my dad. And I remember carrying on walking. And as I continued to walk, I remember seeing stones and thorns and all these things on the floor. And I would walk over them and I feel nothing. I wouldn't feel the stones. I wouldn't feel the thorns. And I continued walking. And in the dream, somehow I knew that I was looking for my dad, but there was something more going on. And I was little, guys. I mean, I remember this dream. And while I'm walking in the dream, there's pits all over on this path, and people are now with me on this path, and we're walking together, and some people are falling in holes around me, and some people are being eaten by lions. these big lions are jumping on them and killing them while we're walking, and I'm walking on the path, and all I can hear is keep looking forward, keep looking forward, keep going, keep looking, listen, keep looking for your father. That's what was coming to me. Keep looking for your father. And I kept on going and I kept on walking. And I remember looking on the one side where the golf course was. And I looked and I saw this extreme wealth. This extreme wealth. I even remember what I saw. I remember, I don't want to talk about it. I remember what I saw. And then I looked to the right and there was extreme poverty. And I kept on going. And all I knew is that I had to keep on going. And I couldn't allow anything to distract me. And as I began to walk towards my father, I remember seeing this light. It was the brightest light I have ever seen. It was so bright. And I remember looking beside me and behind me and around me, in front of me, all over. And there were thousands of people coming towards this light. And I woke up. Why am I telling you this? Because if you put him in front of you, if you always pursue him, if you always go after him, you will not be moved. You will not be moved. You will be able to stay with him. Keep your focus. Put him first. Don't allow anything to distract you. And you know what the funniest thing is? I went to, you know, when we call Children's Church Sunday School. So I go to Sunday school. I'm all excited to tell them about my dream. Nobody cared. And I'm like, people, this was an amazing dream, you know. And they were like, oh, that's great, you know. I was so upset. The question is, what will you do when you do face tribulation, when you do face difficult times? Are we going to continue to seek him first? Are we going to continue to seek his counsel? Are we going to continue to seek his ways? Listen, you can go to a psychologist. That's fine. I'm not against psychologists. But let me tell you something. The answer is in the Word of God. That's why I'd rather go to a Christian one. Is that okay? So they can teach you from the Word. And by the way, if a psychiatrist doesn't pray for you, I want you to know the problem's still there. Confess your trespasses one to another. And pray for one another so that you can be healed. And then it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In other words, listen, you can deal with the issues, but you need to deal with the devil as well. You need to pray. You need to break that thing. Prayer is critical, vital. I don't want to do nothing without prayer. I have to have prayer. Prayer has to be the foundation of whatever we do. We have to seek God. We have to chase after God. We have to stay close to God. In times like this, when things are going so chaotic on the earth, there is no other solution. Well, the world says this. Well, I want to know, what does God say? I'm going to put his ways before me. I'm going to put him before me. Nothing else. Everything else comes second. Everyone else's opinion comes like not even second. His ways. His word. That's why when someone comes to me and says, you know, well, Pastor Alex, God told me to leave. Guess what? I ain't saying a word. If God told you, if the Lord spoke to you and said to you, you must go, I'm not going to say anything. I may not like it, but I can't argue with God. But his word is the final authority. The word of God, the Bible, is the final authority. And right now on the earth, that's the only place that we can find consistency, a constant, reliable peace, faith, hope, joy, true love. There's nothing outside of this. Everything else is a meta. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Is that what it's called? Meta. A 3D reality, not even real. I want what God says. I want to know what he says about my family. I want to know what he says about tomorrow. I want to know what he says about our nation. I want to know what he says about our city. That's what I want to know. I don't want to know what everybody else thinks. Is that okay? So we put him before us. We put him first. And we will never be moved if we can get that right. He says, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. You see, the fact is, I might not have everything that everybody else has, but if I have Him and the portion that He's given me, and I'm trusting in Him and seeking Him and the inheritance that He's given me, then I will have a hope, I will have peace, and I will be able to rest in what He has for me. You see, that's one of the most important things for us, is that we find a place of contentment. Be content. It's hard for us to be content. Thank you for your overwhelming encouragement. Verse number 10, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol. In other words, when you talk about that, when you say Sheol, he's saying that you will not leave my soul in hell. In other words, in suffering. Nor will you allow your holy ones to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. And then he says this, in your presence is fullness of joy. He will show me the path of life. And he says, in your presence is fullness of joy. The word fullness in the Hebrew is the word saturation. It's the word abundance. It's the word contentment. In other words, it's like an overflowing, saturated fullness. Isaiah 61, verse number 3 says this. Isaiah 61, verse number 3. To console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But I want you to see the oil of joy. You see, it's the oil of joy for mourning. It's that abundance, that fullness, that contentment, that saturation of the presence of the oil of God. Nehemiah 8 verse number 10 says this. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The fact of the matter is that we need joy in a time like this. We need joy, but we need that oil of joy. We need that saturation. And if you've ever seen oil, when it begins to, like going to a box or into bread, it soaks it up, it goes in it, it fills it up, it saturates it. That's what happens when like olive oil goes into bread or even onto a box or anything, it like fills it, it saturates it completely. The question is, if we need this joy, because this joy is like oil for mourning. This joy is our strength. This is where we get our strength. And he says, in your presence is fullness of joy. How many of you in here want that joy? How many of you need that joy? You see, everything he says in the psalm is telling us what is required and what God will do to bring us to a place of joy. The presence of God is where we find the fullness of joy. But the fact of the matter is, if you go to the beginning of the psalm, you'll find out that's what happens when you put your trust in him. That's what happens when his goodness, when our goodness is nothing without him. When you get to a place where you recognize that your goodness is nothing without him. He is my lot. He is my inheritance. I find it in him. Nothing else. I need nothing else. I only need him. I will bless him. I will praise him. I will adore him. I will worship him. I will bow my knee to him. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter what I'm dealing with. Doesn't matter how I feel. Because let me tell you something. If I had to go on how I feel, there's a lot of things I wouldn't do. And he gives me counsel when I put my trust in him. You see, that's what happens. And when you do those things, you come to a place where his presence will give you fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Weeping may endure for a night, for a season, but joy comes in the morning. Sometimes we go through seasons of weeping, of mourning, of difficult times. But if we put our trust in him, joy will come in the morning. Where do you find it? In his presence. in his presence. There's nothing else for me. I have to have his presence. I have to get into his presence. I have to worship him. I have to praise him. I have to bless him with my whole heart. Are you with me? And if we can do that, not only will we experience the fullness of joy, but the next verse says, and also pleasures forevermore. I want you to think about this for just a moment. Forever goes beyond this lifetime. When you walk with him, when you serve him, when you choose him, when you follow him, you will not only experience fullness of joy, fullness of joy, but you will experience his goodness and his pleasures forever. Regardless of how you feel. You see, happiness and joy are two different things. Joy comes from here. Happiness is an emotion. It normally comes from things on the outside. A nice car makes me happy. Pizza definitely makes me happy. Okay? That's right. But when I feel like everything has become just too much, none of those things can do anything for me. So what do I need? I need to go to him. I need to go to the one who protects me. You see, fullness of joy is so powerful because what it really is saying that you have a fullness, a saturation, like a completeness almost, a totality of joy, a fullness. The only way that can happen is if you come to a place of peace, of where no matter what's going on around you, you have this fullness of joy that comes. That's why he talks about protection. That's why he talks about provision. That's why it's all these things. When you get to that place where you recognize that God is your lot, your inheritance, he is enough. How many of you have come to church feeling really lousy, and then you walk out the building and you go, man, I feel really great. Now listen, as much as I think I'm a great preacher, it has nothing to do with that. What is it that makes you feel that way? The presence of God. It's his presence that does that. Well, you know, when we get to church, everything is fine. Exactly. Why? The presence of God. And when you leave, you go back into the world. So what do we have to do? We have to take the presence with us. That's why we have to pursue him outside of church walls. Well, you know, Pastor, everything's fine when I get to church, but when I'm back at home, change the atmosphere at home. Pursue him first. Go after him first. And then those things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It doesn't matter what you've been dealing with. God is a healer. He is a restorer. He is our peace. And the peace that he can give you, even in your turmoil, even in your suffering, even in your depression, don't allow it to consume you. Go to the fountain of living water. Go to him, guys. And so tonight in this place, we are going to stretch out our hands to heaven. We are going to call upon the name of the Lord to bring restoration. There are people sitting here, maybe you're watching online, and you've had a tough time over the last 18 months. You've been through a lot of different things, and you've experienced maybe loss, maybe pain. I don't know what it is that you've had, but I want you to know tonight, if you say, God, you are the one I pursue. You are the one I put my trust in. You are my strong tower. You are my refuge. You are my peace. I want you to know that tonight, not tomorrow, tonight he can restore your soul. Tonight he can bring peace to your heart. Tonight he can bring healing and deliverance to your household. How many of you in this place desire that this evening? The word of God is true. Every single word of it is the truth. Let's take a hold of it tonight.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.